Welcome to a little Grace to Grow podcast today, and I want to share with you a passage of Scripture from Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Excuse me. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Now, if you're familiar with the story here, even if you're not, allow me to share a few things. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in Daniel chapter 2, unusual dream. God used Daniel to remind Nebuchadnezzar of this dream and interpret it. This dream involved a large image. The head was made of gold. Shoulders and the chest were made of silver. And then from the abdomen down to the thighs, brass. And then from the knees down, iron. And of course, those represented different kingdoms. God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know his plan for Nebuchadnezzar when it come to the nations of the world. He also wanted to reveal to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel that the God of Israel was the God who sets men up and puts men down. So a number of wonderful things took place in chapter 2. This dream really was a gift that God had given Nebuchadnezzar. Anytime God gives you and I a revelation of his word, of his will, that is a gift from God. But what we find in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar makes this huge golden image and then makes it mandatory that the people bow down and worship this golden image at the sound of some particular music. He had turned it into an idol. He had turned God's gift into a little g, God. And so I want us to consider this for a moment, because that is something that happens more often than not. Even we as Christians have the tendency of turning God's gifts into gods or idols. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." I want to go through the Bible fairly quick here and just give a few examples of how this transpires. In Exodus chapter 32, we find that Moses was up in Mount Sinai. The children of Israel became impatient, and they prodded Aaron to do something about what's going on. They had given up on Moses. Aaron succumbed to their wishes. He said, "Give me your gold." And he made a golden calf, and they worshiped this golden calf. Appreciate Brother Brian Hickman pointing this out this past Wednesday, that where did they get that gold? They got that gold from Egypt. It was part of the spoils. It was God's gift to them. But now we see in chapter 32, they have turned God's gift into an idol. This happens again in, I believe it's Numbers 21 or Exodus 21. The children of Israel have complained, and God sends venomous snakes. They cry to God that he would remove them. They confess their sin, and God tells Moses, make a brazen serpent, put it up on a pole in the middle of the congregation, and tell the people, if they look at this brazen serpent, they will live. They will not die when they're bit by the snake. Now, I know that seems unusual, but we find out later on that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up, bearing the curse of humanity. But in that sense there, it was the remedy that God had. Years later, what we find out is that the people of Israel took that brazen serpent and they began to worship it. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Hezekiah or Josiah, King Josiah, called it Nehushtan, meaning just a thing of brass. He had to remove it from them and get rid of it because they were worshiping it. Once again, they'd taken God's gift and turned it into a god. Gideon did the same thing. Gideon made an ephod after he had conquered the Midianites. This ephod was made out of precious gold and silver and stones. And after he died, wasn't long after he died, they took that ephod. It was a garment that priests would wear, but the children of Israel began to worship it once again, turning a gift into a god. Now, before we would get too critical of all of these people and critical of King Nebuchadnezzar, we need to ask ourselves, how often have we turned God's gifts into the objects of our worship? It is very easy to do. God blesses you with a good job, and they offer optional overtime on Sunday, so you choose to work on Sunday because it's such good pay, and you forfeit going to church. Well, you've just made an idol. God blesses you with children after much prayer, and you're grateful for this blessing. But as the children grow, they become the object of your worship. An example would be if they have an activity that interferes with God's house and God's work and God's will for their lives, and you forfeit that. Well, you may have just turned those children into an idol. If you're more concerned about their popularity than their godliness, you've just made an idol out of them. Whenever you take a gift from God and become more enamored with it than God, you've got an idol. Whenever God's gift to you, for some reason, turns you away from worshiping the giver versus the gift, well, then if you're worshiping the gift, then you've made an idol. As Christians, we should understand that everything we have is a gift from God. We need to continue to praise the giver and adore the giver even after the gift is received. You know, the true test of you turning a gift into an idol is how you respond if the gift is taken away. You realize your health is a gift. You realize your finances are a gift. Your house is a gift. All that you have, the people in your lives, are gifts. But how do you respond when they're taken away? Job gives us the supreme example. Here's a man that lost all of his wealth, lost his health, lost his children. And no doubt he was hurting, and we don't make light of the pain and the anguish in his spirit and his soul. He bowed down with tears, humbled himself before God, and acknowledged, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was testifying that all that I have, though I tried to be a wise steward of it, it was not my God. It was a gift from God. Abraham would do the same thing when he was called upon to offer up his son Isaac. The day would come when he was ready to do it, and God had to hold him back because God acknowledged that he had Abraham's heart. And so, friend, I just tell you, be mindful, even now, be mindful that you don't let your heart get turned away from the gifts God has given us. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God certainly wants us to enjoy these gifts. God wants us to use these gifts for his glory. But he does not want us to turn these gifts into idols. I hope you have a fantastic day, and we'll talk to you next week.